Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasures,
new
planetary mind control,
military cover-up,
shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order, buried treasures, planetary mind control, corporate interests,
presidential assassinations,
population,
population control,
population
control,
population
control,
fascism, cryptozoology, alcohol,
Out there. Out there. It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
Hey, Scott O. I just want to thank you for this sweet Go See Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash on my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Go See Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1¼-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1¼-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
Do you believe in things that go bump in the night? Night Watchers at nightwatchers.info. Whether you're an amateur or a professional paranormal investigator, the Night Watchers want you to investigate some of the country's most haunted places. The Night Watchers want you. Already in a group? Perfect. Groups are welcome. Join today at nightwatchers.info. Night Watchers at nightwatchers.info. The future of paranormal investigation.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk.
K. Burke has been a student of the paranormal for more than 35 years, and a teacher for over 5 years. As a child growing up in a haunted house, Patrick began to develop an interest in things which are not of this world. Patrick's background and interest in history has laid the groundwork for his career as an investigator and educator. He believes all investigators should learn to use and respect their own intuition. Patrick's technique, the intuitive science method of investigation, combines the strongest elements of both science and intuition and has proven to be very successful. I'd like to welcome Patrick K. Burke to Ghostly Talk. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Scott, Doug, Bonnie, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, pretty good.
You?
It's good to have you on. Your website, by the way, also is www.americanbattlefield.com. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You got it, man.
All right, cool. Now, we love talking about battlefield ghosts here.
We've
dedicated shows to it.
Yes, we have.
So how cool is it to have you come on? It's obviously, I mean, a battlefield, just to start things off here, is kind of, I guess, you know, in our business, and I use the term business very lightly, that would be, a total playground for a paranormal investigator. Much stuff happened in a location like this. It seems almost inevitable you would run into something otherworldly on a battlefield. I mean, am I somewhere on the right track, Patrick?
Yeah, I was listening to your show with the lady from Marietta, Georgia.
Yeah.
About the man that owns the museum, and certainly where there's such traumatic injury to life. Just as Joshua Chamberlain said, there's an essence. It can be a playground, definitely. There's a lot of activity. When we go out there, one of the reasons we get some of the incredible evidence that we do is because of our approach, similar to that gentleman. We go out there with nothing but respect and honor for these guys. They gave it all. They gave it, in some cases, it was their last full measure. And we don't go out to prove or disprove anything, we actually go out to tell a story. We want their story. We want to capture that historical moment from their perspective so that we can take it and say, look, this person was here, this is what happened to them, and this is their story.
Well, I don't mean the term playground. Maybe that was...
No, it's cool. I don't want you to get the impression that, I'm not a relatively easy person to get. Yeah, I guess the playground's very cool with me, especially being Irish. One element that we do, and John Holland talks about this, we go out and we have fun. And I think that's critical because, you know, I think of it almost like a party. You go to a party and nobody wants to be around the negative person. They want to be around the person that's lively, jumping, having a good time, telling the jokes.
Yes,
always
they
want to
be around Doug.
So playground is a perfect term because, really, we're going out there and we're just kind of celebrating life. Even though they're dead, they're still people. They're just not here. And, you know, they don't walk in the same light that we walk in right now. That's all.
Well, you know,
I've run into this kind of thing where I think that it – Your mood or your where you are right then and there when you're in an investigation, your mood, your goals, your just everything comes together, and if it's right at that time, you could have just an amazing night.
Example, Doug, Whispers of State, the one we all went there over in December. One of the reasons, we had the whole thing is I almost didn't go, right?
Right.
And one of the things was, because I had all this crap happening to me that day, you know, with work and all that stuff, that this is honestly what I said. Right. I mean, I didn't tell you guys at the time, but I'll tell you now, because after the fact. I was like, I thought, like, you know, honestly, it's one of the things that went in my head was, you know, I'm in a crap mood right now. I'm in a really bad mood right now. I've had all this crap happen to me at work, and then we're going to drive, you know, 6 or 7 hours. I'm going to be really cranky all the way down there, and I'm going to be yelling at Amber the whole time. I mean, all these bad things are going to happen, right? And then I'm going to come down there and try to do an investigation with you guys. And that was one of the reasons that I originally said that day, I'm like, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't want to hinder the rest of the group that's down there, right? Fortunately, it worked out. We all had a great time, but that's a very important thing, I think, when you're going out to any area, not just a battlefield, any haunted location you're going to investigate. You got to have the right attitude, I think.
Yeah, I think attitude has a lot to do with it. Attitude and mood and things like that. And in your case, it was able, you know, you were able to put all the, you know, the day-to-day, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and compartmentalize it
away. Yep.
And enjoy the hunt. Well, same thing when you're out on a battlefield.
Yeah.
If you're there and you're honoring and remembering and respecting and learning, mm-hmm. you know, the history and the place and things like that, that's definitely...
It's a plus.
I think it actually can increase your chances of...
Of
getting evidence and being contacted.
Well, speaking
of... absolutely.
Go ahead, Patrick. Sorry.
I was going to say, absolutely. I mean, that's a part of, in my book, Battlefield Guide to Ghost Hunting, I actually talk about the attitude and the approach, because that's critical. You have to have the proper, togetherness. You have to go out there, you know, knowing that you're going to be interacting with otherworldly energies, these spirits that have passed on.
Yeah.
And, Doug, were you the one that said that you had a bad attitude, but you changed it around before the investigation?
No, that was me.
That was Scott. That was Scott.
That was Scott, yeah.
No, I was geeked for that one. I was really excited because I had been there once before, and so I was ready for a second trip there. But this was Scott's first trip down there, and he just turned it around. Your entire
I remember when I pulled up. I know I spit. Pee and vinegar everywhere.
Yes.
You know, I came on the porch and I'm like, you would never believe this. We were fighting all the way down there. But I got it off my chest, though, before I walked through the door of the place. And then everything was cool, I think.
I saw you guys. I walked out and I was like, oh, my God, Amber. And I gave her a great big hug and I ran up to Scott and he's like, don't touch me right now.
So,
okay, then.
So, yeah, but and then when you turned it around and we ended up having a fantastic night.
Yeah, we did. We had a really good time.
So, and I think it has to do.
It has to do with your attitude.
When you're in Gettysburg, or if we're going to have to go down to Marietta eventually.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, checking out battlefields there, and it's part of it.
Yeah,
it really
totally,
is part of it.
Totally.
The whole package. I mean, yeah, you've got your camera and you've got your recorder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are tools. Those are there, but also your attitude. And I think it's a big thing. And I'm glad you mentioned it in your book.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally, Patrick.
In the book, Patrick.
What the battlefields have you guys been to? Have you been to Antietam or any, or is it just Gettysburg and a few places up north?
Mainly Gettysburg has been our place. Coming home from we cut through a couple of battlefields. I don't even know where they were because I was just like out of it pretty much. But we were coming back a couple years ago from Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
And we went through a couple of battlefields there. Those were just kind of off the road. They were a marker, and we're like, yeah, let's check them out, right? So we just, you know, we've had some experience with those, but mainly, you know, the place to go to when you think of battlefield ghost, obviously, is Gettysburg, and we've done plenty of that.
Right. Well, so you guys wouldn't be averse to going out with us on a couple of nighttime investigations on some battlefields we get permits for, right?
Oh, that's
sure.
Awesome.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, we love to.
It's difficult to do that, to get permits. You can't get them in Gettysburg, from what I understand. But the
Gettysburg is a bit difficult. You can get documentaries. You can get B-roll. You don't have to have a permit, but you do have to get a permit to actually film. And getting there to film all night is the issue. Dusk is okay, and dusk. We use a. The Sony system, pretty much exclusively, that the Super Night Shot Plus,
uh-huh.
And Shot Plus mode, you can actually, for instance, at Spangler Spring, you can actually film at dusk because that sun is behind the trees. And there, while I was filming, I actually captured a gutshot Confederate posed up against the tree in the rock, showing me how he had passed away there near Spangler Spring.
Wow!
So
really,
but Gettysburg is kind of tough, but. We have a pretty good reputation because we're historically based paranormal society, so it's not like we're going from house to house. We're doing historical sites and battlefields pretty much exclusively,
mm-hmm.
and the kind of footage that we get is pretty incredible. And so we've been, for instance, we had Shiloh for a week. I have invitations to go back to Franklin, Pea Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
We've done it. We just did Antietam that night. We were out there until about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So we do have a way of, because of that respect and reputation that we have, we're able to get some permits where other people just aren't able to do that.
You know, it's an interesting point you made, Patrick, that you got your group, you guys don't really do too many private residence investigations. And it seems like the longer I do this thing, the more disenchanted I am from doing private investigation work like that. There's a few out there I think that are very interesting, but I think the idea you guys have is, you know, more or less hitting historical sites, you know, more public areas like that. I think there may be a lot more to that. Plus, they're much more accessible, it seems like, to get to. Well, unless you're in Gettysburg.
Yeah, then they're difficult. But you also get to learn that way.
Yeah, right?
You're learning
totally.
History at that point, too. It's
actually do lectures for middle schools. Using the evidence and tying it into the history to teach them some of the history of the Civil War, Revolutionary War, some of that.
If only that was going on when I was a kid, because I would have probably paid attention
at
that
point. Yeah, but
there
weren't battlefields yet. Though.
Well, that's true.
It was still horse-drawn buggies. Is that what
yes, you yes, right? Pretty much.
Look, I'm betting that all of you guys are younger than me, so.
I don't know.
Yeah,
sure. I find myself, I mean, this has been the topic of discussion a lot lately. This, you know, and a lot of our friends who are in groups, they get phone calls from people that have private residences, and they're like, hey, I think there's something going on at my house. And, you know, we've been to so many private residences nowadays, you know, in the last couple of years especially, and we've gotten there, and it's like, all right, so I saw this thing, you know, walking through the living room. Okay, you know, and, you know, I know you only go there one time, you're not going to get something, but we've been able to really explain a lot of this stuff, you know, as far as just a logical, scientific explanation of that. Now, going to some of these, like you said, historical areas, you know, we talked about that last week a little bit too, I think, Doug, how some people have said that there's no correlation whatsoever between history and paranormal occurrences. I've heard this said, and I think that's ridiculous. I don't want to go through it again.
Yeah,
I think it's ridiculous because I think it has so much. What do you think about that, Patrick? As far as history and is related to paranormal occurrences.
Well, in reality, it's living history other than paranormal. I have so many firsthand accounts of all kinds of. Different happenings, Normandy, the Battle of the Bulge, all the way back to Thermopylae. There's stories raging back, you know, 2300 BC. So,
yeah.
there's definitely a correlation between the event, the paranormal event, and the history. Is it residual? Is it direct interactive? That's a different story.
Oh, yeah.
Most battlefields, as you know, 80-85%, maybe even 90% is a residual. But, of course, our energy will spark a residual haunting, and it can feel interactive, even in doing an EVP and saying what year it is, or doing a roll call at an EMTM or Gettysburg for payroll. That can still trigger a residual, and you'll still get a response, you know.
Which may feel like an interactive type thing, but it may not be.
Yeah. Yes,
that's an interesting idea. That's an interesting viewpoint. That's something new.
Yeah,
I like that. That's very cool. Well,
we've said
about EVP stuff. You know, it's you know, what is it? Are they talking to you? Is it just something residual like that? And if you're saying something that would have, and we've often done this in our research where we try to say something that may have been said at that time, right? And that's exactly what you're talking about. If if you're doing a roll call like that. And you say, what year it may be, and somebody actually answers to that, it could be very well in that area we're talking about that it may just be a residual type thing, but it just magic, it kind of answered you, so it sounds like it's interactive. That's really,
Definitely. And the other point there too is I was in the military, so my original draw was as a historian, military historian. My original draw is the history, and then of course being a sensitive and having paranormal experiences since I was two.
Uh-huh.
After I got out of the military, it was probably about 1999, 2000, I heard someone say, oh, there's a picture of a ghost at Gettysburg. And I started studying how do they acquire this picture, and I decided about 2001, I said, you know what, I've done all the research, and I have a love for the story of the battle. One of the things that I'm always interested in trying to capture is that 30-second decision. Gettysburg is a perfect example. How come Gordon didn't go and take Culpeper? How come Early didn't tell Gordon to go take Culpeper or force him to?
Mm-hmm.
That 30 decision changed the whole scenario, and now you have the Battle of Gettysburg instead of the battle at Pipe Creek.
Yeah.
So, that 30-second decision is one thing that drew me into this, but I immediately decided that, energy is energy, and it leaves a signature, whether it's a residual or interactive. So I went into an infrared format. And if you go to the site, you'll actually see Georgia infantrymen crossing the stone wall at Gettysburg at Triangle Field. That first video I took, I actually captured four apparitions in it.
Really?
One of them being a wolf that materialized out of a paranormal myth.
Wow.
So, yeah. So when I decided to do this, I said, I'm going to do it a little bit differently. I'm going to approach this strictly from historical, because we do get a lot of calls. I have this haunting in a house. Okay, well, we have a lot of associate societies. I'll turn you on to one of them. Maybe they handle it, but unfortunately, what we deal with is strictly historical. If your house now was on a land grant from the 1700s, and you're seeing the colonial kid running through the yard,
uh-huh.
and it's ugly to be associated, the Native American or whatever,
uh-huh.
that's a story. Then we have gone and investigated a home where not only was there an Indian vigil, there was a Civil War fort, and there were prisoners that were buried on site, and there was a lot of activity, and we went and we investigated that area and got a lot of evidence.
Well, yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, a private residence right there on the reservation, so to say, I mean, that I'd be all over that, too. that's part of the history right there, that particular house.
Yeah, one other thing that we try and tie into to gather the history. We take most of the sensitives and the investigative mediums, we'll take them in cold so that they can validate the research. That's one thing that the intuitive science method is really cross-disciplinary. You have the research, which is critical because you have to be able to go in and you have to say, Thomas Ware, you died here on July 2nd, 1863, uh-huh. the Stonewall, okay? You have to have that information. You have to know that there's two other Georgians that died there. You have to know the units. That helps not only bring out the residual, but that also will start instigating your interactive, as you guys well know.
Yeah.
And then we go into the science. Well, our science officer, Smitty, he's a skeptic, and he's had personal experiences. I told him when he got on the team back in 2001, I said, you're going to hang with me. Things will happen to you. He said, I'll deal with it. And there was... there was one instance where he had his first experience. He didn't talk to me for 2 weeks. I just let it go, and then 2 weeks later he called up and said, I'm okay now. All right, let's get on with it. But, he has his log. He keeps his record log of the full investigation.
Mm-hmm.
We've developed a couple different ways of doing EVP besides the standard EVP session of asking questions, waiting about 25 seconds to ask another question. And they're not, as you guys know, simple questions, yes or no's or what year.
Yeah.
That stuff. And then we have what we call the rolling EVP, which is, for some reason, I don't know if you guys experience this, but our skeptics get a lot of EVP around them while we're doing an investigation. So I put a lapel recorder on them, and I just let it go.
The skeptics, you said that you're skeptic, the people that are skeptical on your team, they tend to attract, I mean, you get more EVP samples when they're around?
Yeah, well, around them. So we actually put what we call a lapel recorder. It just runs. It doesn't stop.
Uh-huh.
Audio. And we've captured the sounds of cannon fire, men shouting, musketry fire, aside from the regular EVP session stuff that we get.
Wow.
And then we add in the psychic intuition, that is the intuition of the ghost hunter or the researcher, and the medium. And that's a critical part of it, because if we work with Garden State Paranormal Investigations. I ran into them at Fort Mifflin, and Terry Templowski is an awesome investigative medium, and her group came together and they learned the intuitive science method from us, and she's at a point now, and I don't know how many mediums you guys might have worked with. I worked with about 7 or 8 different ones through my career so far.
Mm-hmm.
She gives me what I call remote viewing, which is not the normal remote viewing. You close your eyes and you see the place and you draw it, right? What I call remote viewing is when I'm standing at the Moore House in Fairfax, which is a documentary we're just starting up right now. She starts giving me the names of different soldiers that were there and start describing them to me in detail and telling me different spots where activity's gonna spark up and happen. That for me, that's more hands-on remote viewing, where I'm able to communicate there on the spot to somebody who's up in New Jersey or or down in Florida. Yeah. So,
something you guys are really mixing a lot of different things together. Obviously, on the scientific side, and also on the the intuitive side, like you said too. So, something you guys you're working on a lot of stuff. We're going to take a break here right now, Patrick. But what I want to do when we come back, if it's cool with you, is get into some of the experiences you guys have had, also too. Like talk about maybe some of the things that you guys, some of the things you've gotten yourself involved with, which I have a feeling is going to be going to be a ride. Is that cool with you, Patrick?
Yeah, that's great, man. Sounds good.
All right, let's take a quick break here. We're talking with Patrick K. Burke, Battlefield Ghosts. Haven't done this in a little while. It's good to get onto this thing. It actually, when I think of Battlefield Ghosts, I think of summer, which is a really nice thing to think about right now in Michigan, because this place is a complete frozen hole. I think of the warmth and the trees and all these nice things, and Ghost World this past summer, which was a ball. So hopefully summer will be here pretty soon. In the meantime, though, this break will be coming very quick. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott Al.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Bonnie.
We'll be right back after this.
Ghostly Talk.
Hi, this is Luke.
And this is Tobin from Quest Research.
Hey, Tobin, what do you get when 4 guys with absolutely no video experience whatsoever decide to produce their own online paranormal TV show?
I don't know. What? Oh, wait. I do know. Ghost Diaries, right?
That's right.
You can check us out and get involved at www.questresearch.net. And the good thing about being new is that we will only get better.
Bye! Hey, it's Wolfman Mac, Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. We're hanging out at the Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, with the good folks from Ghostly Talk. Ooh, this place is creepy, man, but nowhere near as creepy as Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. It's a haunted drive-in, babies. And you know what we do there? We host classic B-horror and sci-fi movies, just like the ones you grew up with when you was a kid. But it's at Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema right now, hosting on public access TV all over Metro Detroit. But guess what, kiddies? It's you, and all you gotta do is have a computer. Just go to Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. It's nightmarecinema.com. We'll be broadcasting the show real soon, right from the website. Stay tuned. It's Wolfman Max Nightmare Cinema. Bye!
We'll be right back. myself and my liberal egotism, and I threw away any future we could have shared together. But now she's dead, and she'll never know how much I truly love her, and I never got to say goodbye!
American Ghost Society's 12th Annual Haunted American Conference will be held June 20th and 21st in Decatur, Illinois.
Hosted by Troy Taylor at the Haunted Lincoln Theater.
Speakers include Patrick Burns, John Zaffis, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and Keith Age.
Also, Lynn Adams, Luke Nalbarski, Dale Kazmarek, Stephen LeChance, and psychic Ken Bird.
Don't miss this two-day event with special investigations and tours sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
To register, guys, go to www.prairieghost.com/conference.html or just call 1-888-446-7859.
Broadcasting live from this event will be the Ghostly Talk radio crew and Nathan S. and Sean B. from the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Witness a special live performance on the Lincoln stage from Spectrum Men, the Atlanta horror punk band made up of real-life ghost hunters.
Admission remains the same as 1997, $50 per person.
It's the 12th Annual Haunted America Conference in Decatur, Illinois with Troy Taylor. Register now.
The television screen is the retina of the mind's eye. Therefore, television is reality, and reality is less than television.
Here comes Bonnie, last minute. Well, Doug's the one that's hung over. She's moving faster than you are.
I just get into my chair and I sit here and I'm like, all right, I'll be safe through this break. But then I don't know about next break.
You're looking all right though.
I am feeling.
You got much, color in your face.
I'm feeling much.
I mean,
better.
You've seen me on some benders before, yeah. And I look like I'm half
you
dead.
You have done the show with sunglasses on before.
and earplugs in my ears. Yeah. The sound from the headphones hurt so bad.
Oh man.
I know, man. So you're doing a lot better than I have.
But no, this is awesome because we're talking about Battlefield Ghosts.
Yeah.
Patrick K. Burke. The website is www.americanbattlefield.com.
Mm-hmm. And Patrick, we talk a lot about what it is you guys do, how you guys approach your thing. The tools you guys are using, how you're coming at it. I'm wondering. I'd like to talk about some of the experiences you guys have had. I'd love to get into this if you'd be cool with that. I'm gonna leave the floor to you though.
Yeah. No, I don't want to share anything.
Okay. Well, excellent. You know what? We're just gonna sit here and talk about Doug's hungover.
Yes, that'll be fun.
Hungover. No, I did a international chat, and I did ask to have one person from Oman ask me. If they're dead, how come they're not naked and have I seen a naked ghost yet? So my reply was, well, once I have one or two scotches, maybe, but when it happens, I'll get back to you on that. going out on that battlefield, a lot of people that we take out that want to learn how to do what we call a proper battlefield investigation, I always prep them with saying, number one, if... you're quote-unquote a newbie, if you haven't gone out before, then I team them up with a veteran. That's yeah. number one. And on the battlefield, it's important because it's different at nighttime than it is at daytime.
Oh, yeah.
It looks one way during the day, and in the night, it looks totally different. And so it's good to always walk in twos. One thing, if you get hurt. Two, validation. Even if the equipment doesn't pick it up, then you have a second person to say, yep, I saw Robert E. Lee right past in front of me on trigger. You know, what are you going to do there?
Yeah, exactly.
We do have a lot of personal experiences. Some of them we capture on equipment. Some of them are just what I call for the person.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are funny, and some of them are just way cool. One of them, I actually talk about in my book. It was at Antietam, and I was in the Bloody Lane, and I had my walking camera, infrared going. I had the mic on me, the recorder, and I decided just to shut everything down and sat down where all the Confederates were dug in, and I just said, you know what? I'm just going to sit here quietly, and I'm going to let you guys let me hear what happened.
Mm.
Just one instance of what happened here that day. And I was sitting there crouched down there for about 20 minutes, just, kind of enjoying the night. That night, it was a cool night, about 65 degrees.
Uh-huh.
You had the normal sounds of nature out there, and it was just like a curtain drop, and all noise stopped. It probably went up about 30 or 40 degrees, almost stifling hot to me because, I'm a big guy. I don't like hot. And as I was sitting there, I started hearing the sounds of the creature. I heard the noise of massive men moving, and then I hear, now? Not yet, not yet. And then, bam, nature pops back in and everything was gone. And that happened. And when that happens to me, I'm like, that's way cool. There's nothing like it. It's you can't even describe it in a book, and you can't even describe it me talking to you guys. You have to experience it.
Oh, yeah.
You step into the historical moment, and it's like any time, and then boom, it happens. For me in the military, I try and relate to them on that level. And even if you're not in the military, you still can relate to a soldier. I do say that it's a little bit easier if you were in the military. A soldier is a soldier. It doesn't matter if it's World War One or now.
Uh-huh.
You're sitting next to the fire and you start sharing some stuff. It's a camaraderie and it just happens. So, but sometimes you get the tap. I got smacked on the butt a couple of times in the building at Gettysburg because I was in the way. I step aside and thinking that it was a person with me. The person's about 4 or 5 feet away from me, and I as it goes by, the chill goes by, and I look at my stationary camera, and there's an orb just moving right past the camera. The area where the Confederate sharpshooters were. So some of the personal experiences, it does vary. I've literally had people out there that just broke down and started crying. They couldn't handle the emotional level of it.
I've seen people, I've seen that happen to people before, too, where they... we've been in some situations with people, whether it's, it may not be a battlefield or something like that, be any haunted location, and, we've actually seen people just kind of get wound up in the thing. Something just kind of washes over them. They don't know where it is, we don't know where it is, but they can't control their emotions. It just kind of blows through them, and they may cry, they may get angry, they may feel dread, they may just feel something. It may not actually alter their personality at the time, but they may feel something and they may express that to us.
Especially if you're a sensitive, one of the things as a sensitive for me, really it's about capturing the story. So I use my ability, as a tool, really. I let the other sensitives and the investigative mediums, give me the information. A lot of times, especially if I kind of connect to my energy to the medium, I'm able to get some of this information that's flowing through. There's another thing I do, and it's called psychometry, and I'm sure you guys heard of that. I can get into the history. And I did one recently at Stella's Attic in Alexandria, Virginia. It's an awesome place, and of course it's full of relics. And one of them was a German World War II uniform in there. And I'm a big buff of World War II. My dad was one of the heroes of World War II.
Uh-huh.
It, to me, they were all heroes, all those guys, the greatest generation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that we were going to do a little psychometry, and, of course, you know, it's all lights out because it's infrared, and I bring over the investigative medium, and Terry from GSPI, she's from New Jersey, so she's got that Jersey accent and that Jersey attitude, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I bring her over, and I was fortunate in that the owner, one of the owners, Rudy, who's a retired major from the Rangers and 101st, he's first-generation German and speaks fluent German.
Uh-huh.
I brought him over, and I put my recorder on it. Of course, I did my readings with the natural trifield meter. I was getting like a 7-8 reading around the collar. So I said, and not, no other reading on the uniforms. I said, well, there might be something here. Let's see what we get.
Yeah.
And as soon as she touched it, she gave me a look and said, what the hell is this? I was like, what are you asking? Well, he's talking, but it's babble. I can't understand a stinking word he's saying. I have no idea what he's talking about. And and Marita's standing there, so I said, okay, well, I know where this is going. It's a German uniform. She's zero history. She knows no history whatsoever, which is good, actually, in this situation. So I said, okay, well, I want to do something here. I'm going to connect my energy to you so that I can get a read on what you're getting, and did that. And then we stepped into bringing Rudy in. And as soon as Rudy asked ask him his name in German, as soon as he did that, bam, both Terry and I just jumped up and said, holy cow, because what we got was a vision of woods and snow falling and SFH 150, which is the 150-millimeter German artillery gun, and all I see is Wehrmacht artillerymen shoving in shells and blowing and just pounding out rounds, right?
Uh-huh.
And then I step back and I say, I saw this, and she said, it wasn't so much as seeing as I felt the adrenaline and the angst of the moment. As this continued on, and every time he asked a question in German, we would get a little bit of something, and by the time I was finished, I was able to discern that this was 1944, Battle of the Bulge, and it was the southern prong of Model's thrust. It was the artillery garage that started off. Yeah, man, it was awesome. And as it turns out, I found out that my father was a Colmar, which was, you know, the Alamo of World War II for the Americans.
Uh-huh.
But it was an intense moment, and it was personal for me because of my father being in World War II. But also, it was funny because at one point I actually said, what is he saying now? And Terry just looks and says, I don't know. I already told you I don't know. Why are you asking me this question? And I looked at her. I was like, but he understands what you're saying? He goes, yeah, but I can't understand him. And then finally I told her it was German. She goes, well, I need to learn German then if you're going to be doing this thing.
Well, that would be very difficult. I mean, if you're getting these impressions, right? Mm-hmm. It'd be very difficult to try to deal with something like that if you don't even understand the language they're speaking. Correct. That's a tough situation to be in.
Mm.
But you got what you said though is that you were actually seeing the action taking place.
Yeah. Not only did I see that scene, but I also saw the scene where this obviously this German artillery officer was in hand to hand with some of the American soldiers.
Oh my God! So you were watching these people physically fight.
Yeah, I actually saw the hand to hand, and I actually saw this German officer throwing a potato masher, the German hand grenade.
No, and you were, but you were visually getting this.
I was visually getting this. I wasn't here. I actually didn't hear any audio or anything. I just saw it was a visual for me. She was actually hearing the audio.
Yeah, she was getting the audio.
You said.
Okay, but you said she was, before you said she could hear the rounds going off and things like that, and she could, feeling and hearing in that situation, I've been around large explosions, and you feel it, believe me.
You feel it.
You wouldn't believe, I'll tell a funny quick story in regards to that. We had this old TV set, you know where this is going, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to throw it out. But we thought it'd be funny to throw it in an empty dumpster. And this was my ignorance of tubes and things like that and how powerful they can be, Patrick. My old roommate way back years ago, he was one of those big muscle tough tough man fighter kind of guys, right? He used to be in those competitions and whatnot. So he could lift this thing over his head and toss it like it was just a piece of, you know, it was just a rag or whatever. He takes his TV, throws it, it hits the dumpster. And, you know, the stupidest thing about this was it was about maybe 5 days after 9/11. This was during 2001, right? Stupid thing to do, right? I never thought about that. But when this thing exploded, I mean, it exploded in the dumpster. I mean, nothing hit us, right? But the force of the explosion, because I turned my body to the right, so the left side of my body was facing the dumpster. I felt the force of the explosion just go through my body, and the left side of my body hurt for a day and a half after that. So, point being,
yes.
you can feel sound.
Yes,
there you
can.
Go. So
yeah, you certainly can. And when it's an explosion like that, it can rattle you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whether you're standing next to it, whether you're experiencing it through another person's life, it could be pretty emotional.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a scary. It's scary too. I mean, explosions like that are very. I mean, they could be very traumatizing. So I mean, you guys more or less got these two impressions. You got the visuals, you got the audio, and you guys were able to kind of discern things between both of you of the situation there. Then.
Yeah. Well, it certainly helped too. I mean. And asking certain questions, I asked them what year it was, and immediately it was the medium. She actually got 1943, and this was unusual because one of the owners, Rudy, who's totally skeptic, but he is a World War II reenactor. We both got the number. He said 1944 at the same time I did, and I kind of looked at him thinking, oh, maybe he's hiding something here. He's a little sensitive. He doesn't want to tell me. So I then asked him a question, and, you know, now this is a retired major, you know, in the Rangers and in the 101st. I said, have you ever had an experience here? And he proceeded to tell me that he was upstairs vacuuming and no one else was in the store when the shadow of two people passed right behind him in the doorway. So he turned and looked. And then the shadows went the other way. Uh-huh. And he immediately went down and he turned on all the lights in the area, finished vacuum, and then he backed out, turning out the lights to leave and lock up. So I think that maybe there's a little bit more to him than he was letting me guess. But
possibly. We're all being told nowadays, I can't count how many psychics we've had come on the show and say, anybody can be psychic, it's just a matter of practicing. I mean, some people are born with the natural ability to do this thing, just like some people are born with the natural ability to draw and things like that. I mean, it's a talent, I think, like anything else is. So maybe that person did have a little bit more ability maybe than they even lent themselves to have.
Yeah, and it's true. I mean, we teach those people that show inclination towards being sensitive or want to learn to open up a little bit. We do work with people like that on a one-on-one basis and teach them the basic to psychometry and how to do that. When we do our boot camp, which is usually a yearly thing, we go to different places. Last year was Fort Mifflin, and we don't do big conferences. Our biggest conference was about 87 people at Fredericksburg, and we took everybody out on the battlefield at nighttime for 2 days. We got permits for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we got some incredible stuff. It was absolutely awesome. But now we try and keep it to about 20 people because we want them to really have an experience if they can. And we want to be able to teach them one-on-one with the veterans with the intuitive science method. So we keep it very, very low-key, and we did Fort Mifflin, and we've got quite a bit of evidence there, some apparitional, two or three videos of apparitions in that area, too.
Well, I think that definitely helps in that situation of kind of bringing it down, keeping, you know, bringing out less people to an event like that. We've been to a lot of things where, you know, we have a lot of conferences, so to say, and they do have investigations, and they're always a lot of fun. You need to go out there and kind of practice your craft and stuff like that. But I don't really get – I've never really yielded too many results in that because there's just simply a lot of people there usually.
That's one thing that we also teach is we'll go into a place. If you're into historic homes, you guys come down here. I'll get you – I have a great relationship with the Dr. Mudhouse.
Okay.
And we've literally got multiple apparitionals in still photo and some the bed sinking on video where the kids stayed and stuff like that, you know, like they're sitting on the bed.
Yeah, it depresses,
Yeah, that was a hard word, thanks. But if you guys ever get down that way, that's a place that I would certainly take you. I mean, not only do you get to the history, not only do you have slave interaction, but you're talking about the conspirators for the Lincoln assassination, you know.
Whoa. And,
it's pretty incredible what we get there. This year, actually, I don't think we're going to be doing a boot camp. I got a couple of projects. One is GizNet Productions is doing a documentary that incorporates three or four haunted locations in Fairfax that have never been investigated. And I just had a meeting the other day, and they gave us a green light, and they're going to give us full support. And that is going to go around John Mosby, Colonel Mosby, Rangers, in his March 9th raid. There's going to be some of that in there.
Mm-hmm.
And the other project is the TV show Ghost Soldiers that myself and Jack Roth from Ghost Magazine have combined our efforts, and we just finished up our trailer and everything, and three different production companies are now looking at it and kind of deciding who's going to hit this thing. So we're going to bring what we do to the TV, which is very cool.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
What's up, Doug? You had something to say, Doug?
Oh, I love hearing, you know, people who are out there doing stuff, getting things organized and together, and I especially, the documentary really piques my interest,
because
that's coming up. We're going in 2 weeks to the film festival, and we're going to be watching some documentaries that people put together.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah. What film festival are you guys going to?
That of Winter Film Festival in Decatur, Illinois, Troy Taylor's event. There's a bunch of films being shown there all day long. All paranormal related. Yeah.
Paranormal independent films, and they're
you should come out. We'd love to see you.
Cool. Yeah. You know what? If I heard it and I forgot about it. I have no choice, so he's going to smack me the next time I see him. Thanks for the plug in there. I appreciate it. I'm doing the, I'm actually, Jack and I are doing a presentation at Horrifying on the end of March.
Oh.
And I actually do my filming for the documentary starts in March. So it depends. But I've been out to the Choice Conference before. It was a lot of fun. It was a blast.
Yeah, Troy's always a lot of fun. We're looking forward to going to that. And again, that's going to be a lot of paranormally related films, just like you're working on too, which we find really cool. We love people that are out there making these films and working on this stuff, and kind of spreading the information around. We think it's just a lot of fun to see that and see people from that are doing it on their own like that. It's very cool.
Yeah,
we got a couple minutes here. Unfortunately, this hour just flew by. Also,
yeah,
this show is just
it seems
flying.
To be the theme for the night.
Well, that's a good thing, but it's a bad thing at the same time, because you just like look at the clock and go, oh my god, what happened?
Right.
What happened to all?
You guys might have to do an all nighter one time, you know.
Yeah, let's not suggest that.
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that. Miserable. It's funny you mentioned that, Patrick, because this was years ago. If you remember this, Doug. I thought about this just the other day when the lights were out or something around here. I don't know why would I think about something ridiculous like this, but way back in the days with, Disinformation Radio.
Oh, yeah.
When we were on when Ghostly Talk was part of Disinformation Radio, we did a telethon type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I had to work all day long. But I came in after, but you pretty much were working, you were on the radio like from like 9 a.m. to like 5 p.m. when I got there, and then we went all night long, right?
Yeah.
Trying to raise money to help this radio station out. That's the last time we did that, and that was back in like early 2003, Patrick.
Wow.
So we're out of practice, but I don't know.
We rested.
Yeah, we're rested.
We've rested up. Now we're set.
I'm busy that night.
You're busy.
Yeah, I was going to say, the bonnet doesn't sound like she's up for that, but
we'll do it. We'll do it.
A marathon.
And if we pull it together, we'll have you come back on again, Patrick, because it'd be really cool
to
talk to you.
You know what? I'll tell you what you do. You pull it together, and I'll pick a battlefield or a historic home for you to actually broadcast from.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That'd be fun.
All right, I'm in.
Yeah.
No, this is the makings of a cool idea here.
Yeah.
Or a cool thing to happen.
I can certainly get you into Fort Mifflin, but you understand they lock you in there, and they don't come back to get you until the weekend's over.
Oh, really? So you're there. Yeah. You just sleep there pretty much the whole weekend.
Yeah, sleep right there where the revolutionaries, the American soldiers and the New Jersey militia slept right in the same barracks.
Well, I got no problem getting down and dirty. It's Bonnie and Doug that I'm worried about.
You can hold their hands.
See, okay, here's the thing that you have to worry about if I'm locked into a place for the weekend. How bad am I going to hurt myself in that weekend?
Yeah, there's no medical attention whatsoever.
Because I do have a tendency to wander off with someone else, and explore.
Yeah, here's a question for you, Patrick. We only got a couple minutes before we have to go to break here. Actually, we're like right on top of it. Would you find this safe that if you're walking around the fields of Gettysburg, like when it's dark outside, and if some random person just came up to you and said, "Hey, come here, I'll show you guys some neat stuff if you follow me," should you go with them, do you think, Patrick?
Okay.
It depends on if you're by yourself or you're with a group.
Well, no, she was, okay, it was Bonnie and my girlfriend. Okay.
Really?
Two young females, late at night in Gettysburg, random guy walks out from literally walks out from the woods and says...
That is not what happened.
What happened? Yeah. What happened?
Don't make it sound as bad as it was.
I have to say, that put up a red flag.
It doesn't matter. I'm going to catch the heat for it, no matter what you say. But
no, what really happened? Tell me what really happened. I thought I was pretty accurate.
He was talking to that other family. We found out that he worked for the park system.
Yeah.
And that.
Did you ask for some credentials?
Oh, for Christ's sake. Never mind. Forget it. I'm an idiot.
I'm still looking for the after school special that addressed that very topic.
Don't do this.
With Nancy McKeon.
Yes.
Yeah. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us. We really had a great time. I hope you had a good time, too.
Anytime. I had a great time. Anytime you guys want to chat.
Yeah, totally. Hang on the line. Don't leave us just yet, okay? We're just going to go to break here. Hang on for 1 second.
The website again, www.americanbattlefield.com.
Yes.
For more info.
Coming up after the break, Christopher Bolzano. And, you know, we're talking about something that was brought up a while back.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to ramble because we're both burning now, I think. I'm kind of just starting.
Fine.
Just read the website. What do I have to explain all the time? We'll be right back after this.
Miss a live broadcast? Feel free to download it direct from the on-demand archives at ghostlytalk.com.